desires and needs and blessings and requests that were not mentioned. We pray, Lord, that you will meet them. We pray too, Lord, that we will be people who just share our needs and ask for prayer and get your help through your people. May your Holy Spirit now lead us in your word as we listen to you and respond to you. Lord, give us the courage and the power to not only hear, but to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we're reading now through Ephesians and looking at Ephesians on Sunday mornings, hopefully you're getting the idea that Ephesians is all about the church and what it means to be the church. And Paul is writing the churches in Asia Minor to help them understand who they are in Christ. And chapter 2 of Ephesians is no different. Last week, Katrina helped us see in the first 10 verses that Christ set us free from sin and death and made us alive through our faith by his grace. And now we're his works of art, created in Christ to serve him. And today's text that Nicole read continues. Because if you notice in verse 11, if you're looking, it's not on the screen, but if you look in your Bible app or in one of the Bibles, it starts with therefore. And you know, whenever you see a therefore, you have to wonder what it's there for, right? So, therefore means the story continues. He's continuing on with the theme of new life and what God has done in creating his people. And he says, therefore, remember that we were lost and alienated. Verses 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves a circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. So he's saying, remember, and this is actually a command. He's commanding us, commanding the church in Ephesus, remember who you were, that when in birth Gentiles were separated from Jews, the uncircumcised versus the circumcised. Remember that Gentiles were alienated from Christ, alienated from God's people, alienated from God's promises, without hope, without God. You get the idea. Lost. And Jews and Gentiles, I think, exemplify, at least in the scripture, the human story, a story of separation, a story of alienation from God and from each other. And we know all about this in our world, separation and alienation between blacks and whites, Boilermakers and Hoosiers, Democrats and Republicans, West Lafayette and Lafayette, natives and immigrants, Israelites and Palestinians, Sunnis and Shiites, liberals and conservatives. We could go on and on and on with separation and alienation. It's the world we live in. And though they're part of God's creative mosaic, God has created this diverse, amazing world. The differences cause divisions among people. And there are so many differences: race and gender and politics and geography and religion and language and theology and education and gifting and personality, on and on. And because we are separated from God, it means that these differences do create division and separation and alienation. Because the differences bring judgment of right and wrong. And those judgments of right and wrong bring distrust. And the distrust brings separation. And the separation promotes hostility. And that is the story of human life, isn't it? The U.S. has a great long history of doing exactly that, from Native Americans to African Americans to Catholics to immigrants. It's the world we've grown up in. It's the air we breathe. But what Paul wants to get to is the fact that the Lord Jesus has changed all of this for us. Even though this is the world we've lived in, God, in a sense, have created a new world in his kingdom for us, that Christ has reconciled us to God and to each other. Moving on, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. Now, as Paul often does, his sentences are pretty thick at times. And so what he's getting at is that Jesus made a way for us to belong to God and each other through his blood by dying on the cross. Now, this is the mystery of the gospel. It's so clear and yet so hard to grasp. And so he goes on to say that therefore he is our peace because he's now the new standard by which we're accepted through faith and have access to God. He fulfilled God's law, and in his sacrificial death, he destroyed the barrier or the dividing wall of hostility, he calls it, and gave everyone equal access through Christ. The Bible still is his truth for us to obey. It still reveals God to us and his will for us, but it's no longer the standard by which we're accepted or not accepted by God himself. Christ is, simply through our faith. The dividing wall of hostility, verse 14, the barrier. We think what he's referring to is the law, which was the source of enmity between the Jew and the Gentile, because it's what described who was in and who was out, what was right and what was wrong. And the Gentiles were on the wrong side. They were the outsiders, which created animosity towards the Jews, who were the chosen ones, who were the insiders. And in every difference, in every separation, there's always a right and a wrong. There's always an outsider and an insider. And this is what Paul is getting at. And this law, this source of animosity, was symbolized by this 5-foot wall that was in the temple that separated the court of the Gentiles from the temple proper, that kept all the Gentiles separated from the Jews and the chosen people. And what Paul says is Christ himself destroyed the law by taking its place, so that now, simply through our faith in Christ, everyone is acceptable to God. Everyone is part of God's kingdom. He simply removed the source of enmity. Now, I've got a little experience with this at home because I have two dogs, and Bruno's our 12-year-old lab, and Bernie's our 8-month-old German Shepherd. And they actually play together, and they love to play ball. Now, it's in Bruno's DNA. He's a retriever, right? And Bernie's just getting used to this. So we start playing ball outside, and it's not very long. You know, you would think they'd be, you know, hey, we're buds. Let's take turns running after the ball and getting it and ringing it back and having a good time. But no. Nope. Pretty soon, within minutes, they're fighting over the ball. To the point where they're not wanting me to throw it anymore. They're just trying to keep it from each other. And so what I have learned is the only way to bring peace is to remove the dividing ball of hostility. You catch that? That's kind of corny. But the only way to bring peace back is to remove what caused the source of enmity, the source of hostility between them. And this is exactly what Christ did. He said, this law is what created the conflict, that created the separation. And so what Christ did in himself was to remove that law and replace it with himself. Amazing. And so by eliminating the law that elevated Jew above Gentile, Christ created a brand new race of people, he says. Verse 15, second half. His purpose was to create in himself one new man or one new humanity or one new tribe or one new race out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. Reconciliation means moving from enemy to friend, from hostility to peace, with people, between people, with God, and between God and man. And so what he's saying is this profound idea, this one new humanity, this one new race, means we now have a corporate identity in Christ that supersedes any other identity a human being can have. Paul describes this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. He says, "Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Those are not what identify you anymore primarily. It's who you are in Christ that identifies you as a people of God. And it doesn't mean we're denying differences, but it means that external differences no longer define us and determine our commonality. Can I have friendship with you? Can I have relationship with you? Yes, because we're in Christ. And that's all that matters, ultimately. Going back to verse 11, remember, he says, remember. And now he's getting to why remember. Paul commands us to remember because what Christ has done determines who we are and what we do. And so verse 19, consequently, these are all the key words that help us know what he's getting to. Consequently, this is the purpose. This is what it means. But let's just think about this for a moment. If Christ's ultimate purpose was to remove all the barriers between people and God, to create one new race of people, one new tribe of people, which are his people, if we know that heaven includes every nation and tribe and people and language together worshiping God, which we get a glimpse of in Revelation chapter 7, if we're given this gift of reconciliation with others and with God, who are we then? What are we all about as these people who have been saved and reconciled and restored by Christ? What does that mean for who we are and how we live? Consequently, Paul says, what this means is that we are Christ's new race created to continue his work of reconciliation. We are a whole new people with a whole new purpose of continuing this reconciliation that Christ began on the cross. Verse 21, in him the whole building, the whole church is joined together and rises and is rising or is growing. It's an ongoing word. It rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. The whole building, the whole church, he's saying, is actively reconciling barriers and hatred and bringing unity amidst diversity. The whole church. So the global picture, the universal picture is that this is what Christ is doing on the earth. He's bringing together, he's reconciling and bringing together a people who break down all the barriers, who break down all the walls, who are reconciled to each other because of Christ. And then he goes on to talk about what that means for us. Verse 22. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The local building, the local church, is also being reconciled and built together to become this unity in diversity, working to break down all the barriers that divide us so that there is oneness. In a world of division and alienation, the story of humanity. God's creating a race of people he's called to continue his reconciling work. That's who we are. And he says it so clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. This new race, this new creation. Verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciled to be reconcilers. So as a new creation, a new race, we display the reconciliation of God through our growing unity, through our growing unity in diversity. which means we don't avoid differences like the rest of the world. We move towards them because we have a way of reconciling differences. There is a way that Christ has made. He is our peace. We move towards differences among ourselves. We move towards differences among the body of Christ because that's who we are. And in the process, we start to grasp, we start to manifest more of who God is because we're becoming more complete. And we display the true gospel of Jesus because we're manifesting, we're living out the reconciling nature of the kingdom of God. When people look at the people of God, they say, look at those people who reconcile differences unlike anything I've seen on earth. How do they do that? Who are these people who move towards difference to bring reconciliation? I think one great example of this for me has been my marriage to Teresa, a beautiful Mexican-American Latin woman from a very spontaneous family, married a German, disciplined, planned, boring, cheap family. Yes, cheap. So from the very beginning of our marriage, 34 years next month, it has been a reconciling journey. And as Teresa has said on numerous occasions, we are so different. Yes, we are. But you know, in that process of reconciliation, I have learned so much, and I have grown and expanded in my understanding of what's right and wrong, and what is good and what isn't good, and what to value and what not to value. I have been changed by it. I have become more complete because I've been reconciling my differences with my wife. Pretty good. Okay. Still working at it. But this is the reconciling journey the people of God are on, becoming more and more complete as we manifest to the world what it means to be the people of God. But let's ask ourselves, is the church a reconciling force in the world? Is Riverside? I don't think so, because I think I am more captive to American individualism than I am to Christ's mandate of unity and reconciliation. American individualism places personal faith and comfort above Christ's commission to bring reconciliation to all nations. That's uncomfortable for me. Individualism puts the individual above the corporate. So it's my politics, my opinion, my theology, my preferences are my ultimate guide and decide what I do and what I don't do. And we are most comfortable going to church with people like us, who like our music, who dress like us, who come from backgrounds like us, who eat food like us, who listen to music like us. This is where we're comfortable, and so this is what we do. We avoid differences like the rest of the world, even among people who are like us. We can still split the hairs of differences even among a homogeneous group. Well, you're a Republican. You like spicy food. You're younger than me. You think differently about the end times. I don't know, whatever. I mean, all these, we still find ways to divide and separate and alienate. Simply because my comfort is most important. And the worst thing is we see nothing wrong with it and feel no obligation to reconcile differences with anyone because it's the way the world is. Brothers and sisters, that is not who we are in Christ. we are part of something much greater than our individual comfort and desires. Friends, we are Christ's new tribe, created to continue his work of reconciliation. That is who we are, and that is what we do. And so I'd like to just leave us with some questions for us to reflect on as the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And let's begin. Where can Riverside begin reconciling differences with others to grow and become more complete, to reflect more of God's heart here among us? What does that look like for us? How do we, as a community of God's people, live that out together and in our community? We are having an example that you may have heard about. We're tithing the money that's being given for our building program to what's called a unity build. And what this is, it's building houses, a house with Habitat for Humanity among the churches of the greater Lafayette area. Black churches, white churches, Chinese churches, Korean churches. And the idea is that we are going to work together as people and begin to experience life together. And hopefully it'll be a door that opens up into reconciliation and unity as we've never seen before. But are there other ways? What are other ways Riverside can be building a reconciling ministry? And how about you and I? Where can we begin moving towards differences that divide us? Where are there differences in your family, in this church, in your community, at your workplace, that you're just avoiding instead of moving towards to reconcile? What does that look like for you and for me? Church, it's time to live into who we are, to really be who we are in Christ, a new race of people who bring reconciliation wherever we go. Let's pray for that. Lord Jesus, we're in awe of what you've done for us, of bringing reconciliation, making us friends, not only with you, but with each other through your work on the cross by your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that we will catch this vision of who you've created us to be so we can live out what you've created us to do. May we at Riverside be known as a people who move towards difference and bring peace and reconciliation in the power of God, all for your glory, for your church, Lord, so they may see who you really are in us. And we pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen.